DW Africa Link.
Would you wear someone's hair? Or are you okay with your natural hair? That sounds like a personal question, doesn't it? Well, there's an ongoing debate about why black women need to embrace their natural hair. But who cares about what hair you wear? And what is the relationship between hair and identity? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
The hair industry in Africa is booming and has become a multi-billion dollar market, driven by a demand for various hair care products, hair extensions, wigs, and styling services. South Africa, Kenya, and Nigeria are some of the largest markets in Africa. According to recent estimates, the African hair care industry is valued at over $7 billion. Wigs and weaves have become the biggest money makers in Nigeria, in an industry dominated mostly by Asian-based companies. As the world begins the countdown to Miss Universe 2024, South Africa's Zozibini Tunzi remains the first black woman to win the Miss Universe title with kinky or afro-textured hair. So, kinky hair, natural hair, artificial hair, who cares? What does it really matter? Let's talk more about hair with Nena Inyare, hair creative and the natural hair enthusiast. Also here is Josie Mahachi, my colleague and fellow podcaster. And you guys are very welcome to the program. Let me start with you straight away, Nena, because you call yourself a natural hair enthusiast. What does that mean?
Yes. So for me, it's my love for the natural hair. I see my natural hair as my crown. I am well known to go around with my afro. It's always out there. And most people say to me, oh, I knew it was you. Like when they see me in the stores, they have not seen me, but just by looking at my hair from maybe another aisle, they're like, I just knew it was you then, Nena. So this is my identity, you know, okay. And I love it.
That's you, right? Because, yes. You know, you think that it's important for black women to embrace their natural hair in today's society. Why really does it matter?
In my opinion, I would say that it matters because when we embrace our hair, it allows us as black women to connect back to our roots, you know, makes you feel proud and unique because this is, our hair is unique. It's versatile. You can do as much as you can with the natural hair, the black natural hair. So I feel like embracing this hair is a representation of the black culture, you know, and heritage.
Okay. Josie, my colleague here, I normally see her in, I would say, artificial hair. She claims that sometimes it's natural what I see, but okay. In my eyes, Josie, I normally see you in artificial hair. What are your thoughts on people pushing for people to be, or pushing for others to be wearing their natural hair instead of artificial hair?
I don't think anybody should push anyone to do something they don't feel like doing, but they can only encourage, right? Because at the end of the day, I don't know why you're saying you've never seen me in my own natural hair. You have, but probably you just don't know because I've been someone who's always been wearing all these, you know, Brazilian hairs, the Indian Remis. I can give you all the names, yeah? But then it just comes a time, there comes a time when you feel like, you know what, enough is enough. That was me. And it's not even long back. It's just about maybe three months ago that I felt like, no, enough of this. And it's not that somebody pushed me. Yes, I've been seeing a lot of reports, a lot of media articles where people is like encouraging black women, black African women to embrace their natural hair.
So you're not going back to artificial?
Oh, no, I don't think I can. I don't think I will. So far, I don't feel like I'm going to do that. So, yeah, for now, I'm good with my hair.
Right. And the way Josie put it, Nena, is for me another angle to the discussion, is that it has to be a personal preference thing, right? So Josie says, oh, as it stands now, I'm cool with my natural hair. Maybe at some point I'm going to jump back on artificial hair. Maybe not, right? But it has to be that personal vibe that decides this, right?
Yeah, I would agree with Josie on that, because like growing up, my mom always used to make me feel good with my hair. She would tell me, "Oh, Nana, you have such nice natural hair." So as a kid, I loved my hair. I got into the teenage phase where I felt like I needed to straighten my hair, and it came about because I went to high school and got lice. So they had someone told my mom, "You need to put relaxer in this hair, brush it out, it will kill this." It happened, and I went through that phase of relaxing my hair, but it wasn't something I was that comfortable with, because it became thinner and it would break. And then at some point, you realize that the color is changing because you look through the sun rays and you have like brown or golden hair instead of black. And after that phase, I told myself, I'm not going to put chemicals in my hair anymore. And I just went from there to having my natural hair ever since.
Right.
So.
I hear you. I hear you, because I mean, I have natural hair. All my hair is natural, so I can relate. Josie, you being someone who's tried both worlds, how would you equate both? What would you say about both, and what has that taught you about how or what you make of your hair?
Let me be honest with you. Before I embraced the natural hair era, I felt so confident. When I'm wearing that like 22 inch, 24 inch Brazilian hair, Indian hair, like I walk into the room, I felt so confident. And I still look beautiful. I mean, people would always tell me, "Oh, you look beautiful," and all. So that was that world before, right? And then recently, I would say the first interview, big interview that I did with my natural hair was just a few weeks ago. And if I'm looking at what people are saying about my hair, about even the comments on social media platforms, it's all about my hair. And that just has made me feel so good, Eddie, that I'm not going back there. I'll give you the reason why I actually moved from the fake hair to my natural hair. I visited one African country, very hot. I can mention it, Nigeria. Eddie, I was walking on the street and I've never sweat, but I saw like water dripping on my face. And this water wasn't clean water. This was like sweat. And the creams you'll be putting in your hair, it's covered with that fake hair, and it was all over my face. I felt so dirty. That was the day I told myself, why am I stressing myself? This country is super hot. This country is humid. The temperatures are so high, and I'm here wearing a 24, 26 inch fake hair. That was the day I decided no more, and I removed it. I decided that I'm looking for a style that will do with my natural hair, something that is easy to maintain. I mean, you know our job. It's not every time that you have that time to start going to a hairdresser, and you know where we're living. So that was the day I decided that no, I'm not doing this again. And also, there is a time I almost got tempted to do this, was when Zonzi, the first ever black African to win Miss Universe from South Africa, she stood out with her short hair, just like your haircut, Eddie. She stood out and she won this. And then looking at now, the Miss Universe is about to happen, and I'm looking at all the African girls that are there, all the black African girls that are there. They're all wearing these Indian Remis and whatever. And I just felt like, oh, I wish I could stand up there and just, inform some girls that you can still look beautiful with your own natural hair.
Both of you have mentioned the word self-esteem. There are those that feel that, I feel more confident when I put on artificial hair, and that is what makes me feel, again, the word confident as a woman. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Eddie. A few
But
weeks ago, a few days ago, a week or whatever, it was my wedding. Do you know how many ladies told me I cannot have my wedding without a wig or a weave or whatever? And that sort of reduced my confidence. But the moment I stepped out there with my own hair and felt like, look, this is me, this is my day, this is my hair, I'm going to rock it. And I'm going to be confident with my own hair. I did it and it was good. So I think it's all about just stepping out of that zone where you feel like Your hair defines you. Yes, your hair defines you. Like Nena says, it's a crown. A natural hair is a crown. But then there are times when you just have to know that as much as you're feeling confident with someone's hair, it's not your hair. That's just the truth.
Nana, maybe you can pick up on this, because again, if I feel more confident wearing someone else's hair, that shouldn't be a problem, should it?
No, it's about you and
Right.
your what you want to do, how confident you are in this. You know, sometimes you see people say, when I dress up in this way, it gives me more confidence. You know, how you can relate to these. But it shouldn't be that you see somebody with another person's hair and then or another hair type and you judge them because this is what makes them comfortable. But at the same time, as Josie was saying, like, you know, the confidence she now has wearing her black hair because she saw the South African lady do her natural hair on this big platform is something that I feel like the natural hair movement currently is getting people to understand the uniqueness of what they have and embrace it more. You know, I'm sure if you had asked Josie 2, 3 years down the line if she would be walking down the aisle with her natural hair, she would say, no, I
Yeah, I'm
can't
sure
do
she would have
that.
definitely. She would
Yeah,
have
she would
definitely
have definitely said no. But you see this awareness right now. So what I always tell people is, you know, you can't push people, you can't force things on people. They need to come to the realization of this themselves. So if somebody is confident walking around with Brazilian Remy or whatever the hair is, fine. You
Yeah,
can
fine,
go ahead and do it.
right?
Yeah, it's fine. You don't, it's not a bad thing. It's what they feel makes them beautiful. So that's totally fine.
Yeah, for me, I just wanted to say something about why also, Eddie, I see many black women find it hard to also maintain their natural hair. I've been there before. Some it's lack of education and also resources, because natural hair, particularly textured hair, requires specific care routines and products, Eddie, that sometimes it's a bit expensive than you just getting a wig that you can, you know, have cornrows under the wig, that every morning you take your shower, you just put it on there and you go to work, and it's easy, you know. And many of us grew up without proper knowledge about how to care for our own natural hair. There are times, even myself with my natural hair, the past months I have it, I feel like, oh my God, I wish I could just, you know, put on a cap and then put a wig on top. So I'm still in that phase also, where I'm tempted to go back to that easier way of doing things.
Which of the hairs is it more likely to change? Like, if you want a different look on Monday and then on Wednesday you want a different look, right? Which one are we
Okay,
jumping on, natural or artificial?
so let me come in here. First of all, like Josie was saying, she said it's expensive. You would realize that it might be more expensive to care for your natural hair, but I think that it all comes down to knowing what to do with the fact that, you know, you can even use your household ingredients. It's so natural that you could use onions to
Really? I didn't even know
yes.
that.
Yeah.
How do I
You
use
can use
it?
onion. You grate the onions, mix it with olive oil. These are things you can do at home. Put in your hair, cover a cap on it, and it conditions your hair and gives it, you know, such a nice texture. So it might be expensive if you want to buy things from the stores to care for your hair. You can even use shea butter, down to shea butter, which is gotten naturally. Because if you look back to when my grandmother was growing up, I don't think they considered their natural hair to be that difficult to care for. They cared for their hair and it grew very well. But you know, people these days, you know, the only thing I would say is expensive is time factor because you really need to dedicate time to caring for your hair.
Okay.
Understand.
And
So yeah.
yeah, time is money, and that's what a lot of people don't have. And so, but I think what's key for me, because you know I've been taking notes. I mean, that there are for sure less expensive ways to take care of natural hair. It's one of the misconceptions, right? That people really say, okay, with natural hair, it's so expensive to take care of it, so I'd rather, you know, have a variety of artificial hair to put on. here and there. Again, we are not condemning it. We're saying people can do whatever makes them, feel themselves.
Feel good.
And so this is not about condemning one over the other. But what, especially Nena, you're trying to raise is that, if you want to embrace the black identity, then the natural hair is a part of it. So that's a different aspect of it. And so you're encouraging people as much as they can to wear their natural hair.
Thank
So
you.
let's talk more about Josie. What more needs to be done to, support and uplift women who are transitioning from chemically treated to natural hair?
To avoid issues to do with discrimination. This has been happening in many workplaces, some workplaces that in some professional environments, as we still speak, straightened hair or hair that conforms the Western norms is considered more acceptable or professional, Eddie, and I think that has to stop. Women with natural hair face a lot of discrimination because mostly I see that the easiest way to maintain natural hair for black women would be to make it into dreadlocks. And there are some companies that don't even allow that as we speak in this day and age, that people will wear a tie or formal wear with their dreadlocks, you know. So I think this has to change. Discrimination has to end. People do not need to feel pressure to conform to these expectations, you know, and avoid negative judgment at work. There are even some adverts, like if you want to be a model or you want to advertise some things, even media representation, they always believe that the straightened hair, soft hair textures, are more presentable than our own natural hair. So I feel like this also has to stop because, I mean, this was also my narrative when I was growing up that I felt like, okay, so the only way to keep my hair is I have to have dreadlocks. And I always felt like, oh, people with dreadlocks are people who only smoke, smoke weed and stuff like that. And I never wanted to associate myself with that. So all those need to change. That it doesn't mean that if someone has dreadlocks, they are Rastafarians or whatever, it's also a hairstyle. It's also like Brazilian hair. It's also like the Remy. So all this needs to be to change discrimination and narratives that don't relate with our own natural hair should be removed.
And Nana, Josie makes
Yes.
a very strong point. It's really about what the world is seeing being beautiful is, right? And
Exactly.
that has made a lot of young African women out there feel the pressure that, oh, well, if I have my natural hair, that makes me not beautiful enough to fit
I
in. If I want to be a model, it doesn't make me beautiful enough. So, but Josie says that has to change. So how does that change? At what level can we push it to make the best impact?
I would say using the media is one way that this is something that can help a lot of people. A lot of young people are out there on TikTok, they're out there on YouTube watching videos. So when they see more celebrities or more people promoting natural hair, which is something that I've heard people say a lot of times, that they started embracing their natural hair, especially Afro Germans. You know, they said most they started embracing wearing their natural hair when they started seeing a representation of their natural hair on the media, on the TV. I will tell you a story. One time I was in TK Maxx in Bonn, and this one woman was. She told me my hair was beautiful. I walked past her and she was following me with her cell phone, trying to make a video. So I'm like, excuse me, can I help you? And she said she just wants to show her daughter that she can actually go out with her hair like this because she finds it beautiful. So if there are more representation of the natural black hair out there, then people can be able to, you know, feel more confident to go out with their hair and find it that it's not really. They are beautiful with their hair in
You're
its form,
beautiful just the way you are.
you are
Don't
exactly.
really put too much pressure. I think there's just so many different angles to hair that we can talk about. And then I'm sure there's even more you can add to some of the misconceptions about
Yeah.
what does it mean for hair to be clean, and what does it mean for it to be natural, what does it mean for
Exactly.
hair to be. I know there's so many different ways we can dig into that, but I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. Thank you very much, Nena Inyari,
Thank
hair
you for
creative.
having me.
Yeah, hair creative and a natural hair enthusiast. Also, my fellow podcaster, Josie Mahachi, thanks a lot for sharing your insights with us.
You're
You're
welcome,
welcome.
Eddie.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
India is a big player in the hair industry. The country's exports of wigs, false beards, eyebrows, eyelashes, among other products to South Africa, was more than $800 million in 2023. That's according to the United Nations Comtrade Database on International Trade. Let's bring in Swati Mishra, my colleague from DW's Asia Department. I mean, when we talk about hair in India, it seems like such a big deal, isn't it? How big is the industry there?
Like the figures are like you find different figures, but you like safely you can say that it's a multi-million dollar industry, and that's booming, and it's supposed to grow somewhere between 20 to 30% annually. So there is a lot potential, lot like much potential to utilize.
Yeah, sounds like that. I mean, when we talk about hair, what kind of hair are we talking about?
Mostly the hairs like extensions, wigs, etc. And there are different types of hair that's in demand, like straight ones, curly ones, wavy ones, bulky ones, and in different colors.
Yeah, because I see a lot of women with different hair colors. I'm assuming these colors are not the real colors, I guess, because the real color will be the brown or black, right?
Yes, and they are considered nowadays as boring. I had like I have black hairs now. I've colored it in a brown color, in a dark brown. And earlier, people used to tease me that my natural hairs, because they were so black, that they look boring either or not natural. So if you are going to have an extension or wig, I think that they will go for something fancy.
Okay.
So colorful, the more the merrier. Like, and you have to now they match their extensions and wigs with their what they are wearing, what color they are wearing, what's going with what. So in different colors they keep.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. For those that are listening, you know, knowing how booming the industry is in India, no, when someone wants to sell their hair or donate it, in most cases they sell it for some amount of money. How is this hair extracted?
So we have two sources. One prominent source is temples, because we have like rituals that's done inside temples. Like, for example, you wish something, you make a wish, and that wish comes true. Okay, so then you will donate your hair. Okay, so there is a famous center in south of India. The state's name is Andhra Pradesh. There we have a very, very famous temple, Tirumala. So they have this tradition, and there are other numerous temples across India. So people go there and shave, like devotees. They go and shave their hair. So that's a major source. And then the second one is salons.
So for those that donate their hair at the temples, as you seemed to allude to, it's more of, okay, they've prayed for something and then they've gotten it. And so they go and donate their hair as a way of saying thank you to their God. Is that
yes.
Somehow what you mean, right?
Yeah, that's, and then there is also a ritual in, especially among Hindus, that when their kids grow and the kid is around 1 or 1.5 years old, they go to the temple. So the first hair that the kid is growing or the kid is born with is supposed to offer to the deity. So they go and shave their, like, the kid's head.
Interesting, interesting. So in this case, it's not sold, it's given for free. Who takes them?
I was reading about it, for example, like Sheer, that Tirumala, that temple I was talking about, is a major center. So they have, devotees are not charging anything, people who are offering their hair. So they do not get anything. The temple's trust, there is an independent trust that runs the temple, part of the temple administration. They oversee the finances, they take care of the finances part, okay? So in an article I was reading that temple alone collects nearly 500 kilograms of human hair every day.
Oh, wow.
And then they auction it and they earn money, like huge amount of money.
That sounds huge. So they get the hair for free and then they sell it for huge sums of money.
Yeah, and that temple is very rich.
Yeah, sounds like a very rich temple then, if you're getting 500 kilograms of hair every single day and knowing how expensive human hair is.
I don't think that devotees will mind because they have so much faith in temple, and it's kind of offering. You are offering something to the deity, okay? And temple supposed to be the premise where you are doing that ritual, performing it. So I don't think, as far as the temples are considered, it's a problem, okay?
So, you know, I keep seeing this is, what, 100% human hair. So is that really 100% human hair?
I really doubt it, the claim, because, you know, most of the people we meet, if you look, you know, near people, you know, everyone is struggling with hair issues. Hairs are thinning. Someone is going bald. So I don't know from where they are getting, you know, such quality hairs. And it's a huge, like, if the market is growing, right, at 20 to 30% annually, for example. So it's impossible. There must be some other way, like artificially made, that they are selling.
Okay, that's good to know. So to all the ladies out there listening to this, when they say it's 100% human hair and that is very expensive, you got to think twice. Thank you very much for your time, Swati Mishra, my colleague from DW's Asia department. She's from India and giving us some good insight. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
That's it from this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, that's DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Buba Jallo, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.